Blog Talk Radio.
This series is called The Liberated Christian, and it is designed to set you free. It is designed to show you God's way to freedom. Many people come to church every Sunday. They get hyped. They feel the chain is off, but somehow between here and the car, it re-snaps. And they're right back where they started. They know God is able. They believe in God. They've heard all the messages. But what is wrong? How is it that we can't keep the marriage together, that I can't be a successful single, that I have to be depressed and have to go to bed early so that I don't have to think about how miserable my day has been? Why is it that I need a pill to get up in the morning, a pill to put me to sleep at night? Why is it that after paying dollars to the psychologist, the psychiatrist, I'm still chained? Well, give me your tired and your poor and your huddled mess. You bring them as you are, because God got some. In order to be set free, you must know that you are hostage. It's hard to set folk free who don't know they're in jail. In order to break a chain, you must know you're in one. In order to be free, you must recognize your slavery condition. God can only help folk who know what's wrong. So what is wrong? Why are so many good people, you and me, hounded day in and day out with, we'll just call it, mess? Comes in all different shapes and sizes, but it's just mess. You can interpret it in your own situation. It's mess. In order to understand what's wrong, I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The nature of the problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I am afraid lest the serpent who deceived Eve by his craftiness deceives your minds, and that you are led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. He is concerned that these Christians living in Corinth have been duped. How has the serpent deceived? It says, I am concerned that the serpent has coiled itself up around your mind. Now, why is he concerned that the snake has gotten the mind? Because whoever owns the mind owns the feet. Many people try to fix the mess by addressing the mess, and the snake is wrapped around the mind. So if you don't get him off the mind, you're not addressing what's causing the mess. And it dawned on me, a lot of people are trying to change their circumstances, better their marriage, get out of their problem without fixing their mind. So we've got to get the snake off the mind in order to fix his effect in the life. He says, like the serpent who deceived Eve. Now, Eve lived thousands of years before Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church. But he said, the same snake that deceived Eve is messing with you folk today. Now follow me. How does Satan do this? How does he do it? He tells Eve in Genesis 3, now you have to pay attention to this. He spends 5 verses telling her why she doesn't have to pay attention to God. He tells her God is jealous. He tells her God is closing out on you. He tells her you don't have to do it his way. You your own boss. He messes with her mind. Now watch this. Now you got to pay attention. Everybody paying attention? Here it is. Satan's method of deception is to give you his thoughts in your mind until you adopt them as your thoughts. See, somebody didn't hear that. What Satan does is he pumps your mind with his ideas until you think they are your ideas. Because once they are your ideas, gotcha. He tells this lady, you don't need God, you can make it, you can be independent. Listen to me, girlfriend. Listen to me, girlfriend. I'm telling you, this is the way it is. And in verse 6 we read, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and when the woman saw it was a delight to the eyes, and when the woman saw it was desirable to make one wise, she ate. In other words, when his idea became her idea, she was now addicted. But it wasn't her idea to eat the tree. It was his idea to tell her why she needed to eat the tree. But she adopted the idea, and it became her idea. Satan has deceived many of us today because he's told us his idea so long that we believe it is our idea. And so we say, I can't. I can't get over this habit. Whose idea is that? I can't save my marriage. Whose idea is that? I can't control my temper. Whose idea is that? You say, well, it's my idea because I know I can't. It's only your idea by adoption, not by origination. God would never give you that idea. God would never give you an idea that you have to be an addict for the rest of your life. God would never give you the idea divorce is the only way out. God would never give you an idea that I have to go to bed depressed and pop pills for the rest of my life. God would never give you an idea that I have to be defeated. God would never give you that idea. So if it's your idea, where did it originate? Once he takes his idea, watch this, and make it your idea, then that is what the Bible calls a stronghold. It's like a python wrapping itself around your mind and then stretching out so that you can't take it off. It's locked itself in the gear. And the python says, I am not going anywhere. And because the python, the serpent, wraps itself around your mind and then stretches out because you can't get it off, you think it's you. When it's not you by origination, it's only you by adoption. You have to adopt the idea that he hands you, but once he makes it your idea, then you're not thinking about him anymore because it's you. Now watch this. Once he had her mind, he got to her emotions. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, a tree she had already seen, by the way, and was a delight to make one wise. That has to do with your feelings, delight, how I feel about something. How many times have you said, I don't feel like I can make it? I don't feel like I can fix it. I don't feel like there's any way out. I don't feel like we can save this marriage. I don't feel like going on anymore. I don't feel like living. Well, the only reason you don't feel that is because you don't think that. The only reason you feel what you feel is because you think what you think. Because your feelings are always tied to your thoughts. Well, if the python has got your mind, he now has your emotions. And the problem is, emotions are hard to shake. Because what you feel is what you feel. It may be wrong, but you feel it. I feel like I gotta get a shot in my arm. I feel like I gotta cuss or I'm a bust. I feel like I gotta get out of this relationship. Those feelings are real, but they're based on serpentine thoughts. It's the serpent that has locked himself around your mind, has made you a hostage, has turned the thought into your thought, so you feel like there's no way to get out of it. And once you feel it, you'll do it. Because it says, once she felt it and delighted, she ate. Once Satan has coiled himself up around your mind so that your emotions have accepted the thought that he gave you, that you've adopted as your own, then your feet execute what your emotions feel because your mind said, I can't help it. If you come to me to help you with your problem, or I come to you and I can't get that python out of there, I haven't helped you. Satan told David, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, number the people, David. And David said, oh, why don't I number the people today? God had forbid him from numbering the people, like eating the fruit. But the Bible says Satan whispered in the ear, David, David, number the people today. And when he did, the Bible says, and God was hot with David because he numbered the people against his will, and God slew thousands that day. The Bible says in John 13:2, the devil told Judas, why don't you go Tell them where Jesus is and get the money, 30 shekels of silver. Judas said, why don't I get up now and go tell them where Jesus is and make me some easy money? Judas thought it was his thought, and it was his thought by adoption, but the Bible says Satan told Judas to do it. Ananias and Sapphira said, why don't we hide some of the money that we said we were going to give to God and keep it for ourselves? But the Bible says Satan told them to do it. But they thought they told them to do it. Why? Because he's the camouflage king. He doesn't want you to know it's him. Oh, here's a good one. Peter told Jesus, Jesus, you're not going to the cross. Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's not you talking, Peter. That's not coming from you. That's coming from you because you've adopted the thought of the enemy. Now, do you think Peter's Jesus' disciple, Peter's thinking up there, devil, tell me something that I can tell Jesus right now. No. He came in and disguised his thoughts because the very things, watch this, that he tells you are the things he wants himself. He told Eve, you will be like God. Now, what did he tell himself when he was the archangel? I want to be like the Most High. He's telling you his thoughts until his thoughts become your thoughts, because when his thoughts become your thoughts, we've got Siamese twins in the house. Satan says, you can't help it. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How come the I can't help it wins? Because it's disguised as my thoughts. When we do with God's thoughts, what we do with Satan's thoughts, we get the I can's instead of the I can'ts. He turns the thought into a stronghold. He captivates your emotions. And he gets you to operate, watch this, his way instead of God's way to fix the problem.
Well, when Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll talk about more damaging side effects of buying into what Satan wants us to believe, starting with fear. First, though, I want to recommend a couple of resources that'll help you dig deeper into what Dr. Evans is talking about today. The first is called When the Enemy Strikes. It explains why people either tend to obsess about spiritual warfare or ignore it altogether. You'll learn how to reach a healthy balance and access God's power and protection so you can stand your ground. We also have a brand new teaching series from Dr. Evans that deals specifically with the resources God has given us to defend ourselves against spiritual attacks and even go on the offense against the devil. It's a lesson series on CD or DVD called The Armor of God. Get details on these and all of our resources at tonyevans.org, along with some other things Dr. Evans is here to tell us about.
There are ministry resources. There are spiritual resources for your personal and family development. There's training for leaders. There are so many things that we have available to you simply by logging on to tonyevans.org. And would you consider becoming a friend of our ministries? We need your friendship, one who supports us on a monthly basis, and we carry on this special relationship with those to whom we have developed this special camaraderie with.
Learn more about the benefits that come along with being part of our inner circle of friends. Visit us online at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members know that you want to help make our ministry possible. We do appreciate it. Right now, let's get back into today's study. Here's Dr. Evans.
The worst thing you can do in quicksand is try to save yourself. Because the more you fight to save yourself, the quicker you're going under. There's only one way to get out of quicksand, and that is somebody has to pull you out. And the Bible says Satan is the father of lies. Now, you can't be a father unless you got kids. So if he's the father of lies, you got a lot of little children running around here who's parroting his information. He's got a mother and a father telling a kid, you're never going to be nothing. You're never going to amount to anything. You're no good. You're nothing. And because Satan has produced that in the parents, and the parents produce that to the child comes up believing the lie of the parent that was delivered by Satan, and so they think, I'll never be anything. Anybody here been lied on by the devil? And it came through your parents or your friends, because he's the father of lies, which means he got kids running around here. Now watch this now. What was the result of this deception? Now you got to hang with me on this one. When he deceived Eve, what happened? Everything that Adam and Eve needed before they sinned, they had. When Adam woke up after God made him out of clay and breathed into him the breath of life and then made Eve, he didn't have to worry about where his food was coming from. He did not have to, when God made Adam, he didn't worry about where his wife was. He didn't worry about being alone. He didn't worry about insecurity, fear, self-esteem. He had none of those worries. Why? Because all of those were taken care of by God in advance. Everything was gifted by God, or to put it another way, God was his sufficiency. And if he needed something, all he had to do was talk to God about it, because God had already covered the bases, because God was his sufficiency. Once Satan duped them, and God was no longer their sufficiency, they had to make it on their own. And a lot of us are trying to make it on our own and wondering why we're not making it, because God is not our sufficiency. We're self-employed. And what happened when they became self-employed? Everything they had, they lost. They had a relationship with God. But spiritually, when they became self-sufficient, they lost the relationship with God. They lost the ability to communicate with him. They were not only affected spiritually, they were affected physically. Because before they were self-sufficient, they were healthy and they were going to live forever. But the moment they became independent, sickness and death was the result. Before they were independent of God, they had a happy marriage, they were getting along. Once they became self-sufficient and independent from God, guess what happened? They started fighting, and the curse was, I will put enmity between you and the woman. You're going to fight like cats and dogs. And you say, no, you don't understand. We have different personalities. You had different personalities when you met. Problem is not different personalities. The problem is Satan has coiled himself around your mind and told you, can't we all get along? He has coiled himself and he has told you, this can't work. And you bought it, adopted his thought as your thought, so you get the fulfillment of your thought that was really his thought, so you can fulfill his will of you not having a happy family. He lied to you, and you bought it. We're told in the scriptures, he says in verse 10, I heard your sound, God, in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I was scared to death. Now fear takes over. Anybody afraid here? Now let me tell you how we pray. Lord, why do you have me so afraid? Fear does not come from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. That doesn't come from God. But the devil's been telling us so long that we believe it, we adopt it, and then we blame God for it when he had nothing to do with it. Oh, let me give you another one. This is good. Psychologically. Now, that's a big word today. Psychology. I want to be a psychologist, psychiatrist. Nothing wrong with psychology, psychiatry. It's a valid discipline. It is the study of the soul. Your soul is your personality. It's made up of your mind, how you think, your will, how you choose, your emotions, how you feel. Psychologist's job is to uncover why you are the way you are from your personality. What happened to them psychologically? They got depressed. The Bible says God had to ask Cain, how come you depressed today? They not only got depressed, they got confused. They didn't know which way to go. Here's a good one. Before the fall, they could only make one mistake, eat the tree. Any other choice they made would have been a good one, because there was only one thing they couldn't do, eat the tree. So they could only make one bad decision. Wouldn't your life be nice if you could only make one bad decision? Anybody on their 1,000th bad decision? But the moment they ate of the tree and became self-sufficient, now they had to deal with good and evil. They had to make an evaluation of everything they faced. In other words, life got confusing. I don't know whether I should go left or right. I don't know whether I should work here or there. I don't know whether I should marry him or her. I don't know whether I should take this job or that job. I don't know what to do. Life got confusing because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, I'm afraid Satan has taken you away from the simplicity of following Christ. Life is a lot simpler when God is in charge. Let me tell you what deception is like. It's like a credit card company calling you up. Hello, Dr. Evans. This is such and such a bank. And I am happy to let you know that you qualify for our new Visa card. We are privileged to tell you that we have raised your limit to $25,000. And it would be our honor to send you your card today. You will be one of our preferred customers. And oh, don't I feel good. I'm worth $25,000. They calling me and telling me, well, let me tell you what they don't bother to tell you. If you will simply use the limit, if you will simply spend $5,000 if you take advantage of everything we're going to give you. We're going to own you for the rest of our lives. Because we're going to attach 18% on everything you purchase. We're going to attach 18% on everything you do. And we're going to own you. And there are people in this room who Satan owns right now. He told you, just take a little drug, just one sniff of marijuana, just do it one time. But what he didn't tell you is I'm going to own you because I charge high interest. And that's what he does. He captures us with a thought, then owns us with a thought. So where do we start? I'm only talking about the start today in closing. Jesus said, I have come to destroy all the works of the devil. I come to put him out of business in your life. God set a purchase plan to purchase you out of your problem. Some of us here today are like hamsters. A hamster looks outside that glass and sees freedom. But guess what the hamster does? Get on the wheel. That hamster sees freedom. There's freedom out there. Let me run to it. Hamster looks. It's not getting anywhere. So what it thinks? Let me run faster. I'm still not getting anywhere. Let me sprint. And an hour later, it's still in the same spot. You've been trying to break that habit for years, and 10 years later, you're still in the same spot. You made a New Year's resolution to say, I'm going to quit this, I'm never going to do this anymore, and after 1 week, you're still in the same spot. You go on a vacation to save your marriage, and you broke her, and you're still in the same spot. Why? Because you used the wrong method. You thought by your human effort of running, your human effort of vacationing, your human playing of the power of positive thinking, you thought if I can do that long enough, I will be free. And you discover yourself, you are a slave. The only way for a hamster to find freedom is its owner has got to reach inside the cage and lift it out of there. Somebody bigger than the hamster has to take over. Until Jesus Christ gets inside and takes control of your life, you are not going very far. You can try, you can run, you can plan, but until Jesus Christ takes control of the wheel, you're not going anywhere. He drives your life from the inside, not from your pushing and pulling from the outside.